In everyday conversation, when we say we hope for something, we generally mean that we look to the attainment of something that might be hard to get or in doubt. Hope as a theological virtue has some similarity to this, in that we look toward the attainment of the ultimate good, God Himself, which in some way can be said to be difficult to attain or in doubt due to the difficulties of the present life and our fallen sinful nature. As a supernatural virtue like faith, it is not attained by our effort, but infused by grace, and elevates us beyond our mere natural capacities. This is necessary because we are totally inadequate for attaining the infinite good which is God Himself, and by our own efforts it is a completely irrational good to hope for. There is such a disproportion between what we are as finite creatures and what God is as the infinite creator and goodness itself, that to be able to truly hope for the attainment of God requires God's power at work in us. We spoke about the object of the virtue of faith as God Himself, the first truth, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. The object of the virtue of hope is also God Himself, considered as omnipotent, merciful, and faithful. In other words, the virtue of hope is directed to the attainment of this utterly disproportionate infinite good because of God's promises, to which He is faithful, because of His omnipotence, by which He can bring about our salvation despite our weakness, and because He is perfectly merciful and will not deprive us of opportunities for repentance during our lives. Along with faith and charity and the rest of the virtues and gifts, we receive the virtue of hope for the first time when we are baptized. Sanctifying grace and charity are necessary to have living faith and hope, so when we sin mortally and lose grace and charity, we retain in some way the virtues of faith and hope, but not enlivened or effective. We may also, however, entirely lose the virtues of faith and hope by committing sins contrary to these particular virtues. For example, one can lose the virtue of faith by obstinately clinging to heretical beliefs, by apostatizing or renouncing the Christian faith entirely, and by blasphemy. We can lose the virtue of hope by committing the sins of presumption, that is, gravely sinning with the expectation of receiving pardon without repentance. This is one extreme which perverts the virtue of hope, and we can call it immoderate hope. And as St. Thomas Aquinas says, it despises God's justice. The other extreme which perverts the virtue of hope is the sin of despair, which despises God's mercy. It is the belief that one is capable of sinning in a way which God cannot or will not forgive, even with repentance. We receive the revivified gifts of faith and hope when we receive once again sanctifying grace and charity after receiving absolution in the sacrament of penance. We are forbidden to ever despair of God's mercy as long as there is breath in our body. God is always ready to forgive. In fact, He is more ready to forgive than we are to repent. St. John Vianney says that God is readier to forgive us than a mother is to snatch her child from a fire. It is by this to a great extent that our virtue of hope is sustained. But in addition to avoiding despair, we must also avoid presumption and be solicitous to do all the things necessary for our salvation that have been commanded by Christ. We must pray daily, have frequent recourse to the sacraments of penance and the Holy Eucharist. We must perform corporal and spiritual works of mercy in the ways possible to us in our state in life. And we must strive to cultivate a virtuous life by the help of God's grace. If we do these two main things, avoid despair and strive to do all those things that our Lord asks of us, no matter how weak we are, we can be sure of God fulfilling His promise of bringing us to eternal beatitude. Notice how this differs from the Protestant idea of assurance of salvation or once saved, always saved. This idea borders on presumption. We do have a firm hope based on God's promises, but those promises are based on conditions which we, in cooperation with God's grace, must strive to fulfill during the entire course of our lives. But it is also not a belief that if we do certain works, God owes us salvation. Rather, it is the effect of hope grounded in Christ's promises that He will do for us whatever we ask if we remain united to Him and strive to enter the narrow way to heaven. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans chapter 5 says, quote, "Through Him we have obtained access by faith to that grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of attaining glory as the sons of God. More than that, we rejoice even in our afflictions, knowing well that affliction gives rise to patience, and patience brings perseverance, and perseverance brings hope. And this hope does not disappoint us." Unquote. And he exhorts us in his first letter to the Thessalonians that even though life is difficult and full of sufferings, we should not grieve as others who do not have hope.